The Pharisees wanted to know just who is to blame here. Who is at fault? 3, the man now back in his old neighborhood, but not welcome any longer. Friends and neighbors are disturbed that he is no longer blind. There's no praise, there's no celebration, no thanksgiving. The healed man, in number 4, in contention with the culture around him, hauled before the religious tribunal, in court, who's the criminal here? There's talk of punishment. The man's testimony, he's a prophet. His testimony is rejected, more evidence is called for. 5, the blind parents, the blind man's parents, who just didn't want to get involved. Don't drag us into this. Fearing guilt by association, parents throw their poor son under the hateful bus. 6, again, the authorities interrogate the healed man. Pressure builds, tempers flare. The man's best defense is to tell the truth. I was blind, now I see. I see. For this, the man is excommunicated. And in 7, Jesus returns. Seeing things ever more clearly, the man confesses Jesus and his faith, and he worships. And still the oppressors come under the judgment of the revelation of who they really are. And that judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light. And so we see Jesus, our Savior. We see Jesus who pushes to color outside the lines in order to demonstrate God's beauty and God's love beyond our own petty blindness. Amazing grace. I once was blind, but now I see. Thank you for the anthem. Again and again in the story of John Newton, William Cowper, in the stories all through the scriptures and through the years, we rehearse the story of God's leading human beings from ignorance and darkness toward illumination and transformation. Many people have spoken of hope as a light at the end of the tunnel, and riding through the Elroy Sparta Trail in the second longer tunnel, the light at the end of that tunnel was so small that I wasn't sure it was even there. Old railroad tunnels converted into bike trails. Of course, old mountain tunnels and dark valleys often are used as a metaphor for very, very hard times. The Bible often tells of the work of God in hard times, and frequently we read of these times through lives being transformed over and over again, from despair to hope, from dark to light, from falsehood to honesty, from treachery to transparency. Many today will say that they feel the pinch of discouragement in the turbulent and uncertain circumstances of our days. As many today are homeless, many are alienated and threatened, undocumented residents, many are nervous and worried, including refugees from all parts of the world. What do you make of the increasing dependence on opiates and the increasing violence and suicide that seems to inflict even those who were secure in our society? Whatever else might be said about those trends, we can at least identify with the faith community in the writing of the Gospel of John. These people were perplexed by a world that had distrusted and rejected them. John and this early church were drawn to the light of God's love in Jesus Christ. And as they grew in their response to that light, they found others opposing them. And so you understand, they were very strongly willing to identify with the blind man in this story and his experience. They could identify with his healing and his transformation. They felt the sting of religious judgment who attacked the healing. And so, in light of their experience, John and his compatriot Christians delighted in finding Jesus coloring outside of the comfortable lines. John wants us to see that in Jesus, God is outside of the lines of our culture and our disciplines and our religious leaders and practices of the day. Outside of those lines for a greater good, you understand. Jesus colors outside the lines of what makes people comfortable and helps people feel okay, challenging the Pharisees and challenging perhaps us a little bit as well. Jesus was the motivator offering a new way of life, how to really love your neighbor, breaking the boundaries of comfortable religion and convention. It is so easy to become stuck in the habits and conventions and patterns. Dale was a client student of mine while working for the School of Hope during the summer of my second year of college. My major study was, my field of study was special education. And so for that summer, I worked at the school. Dale had some pretty severe cognitive limitations. He was a big guy, probably 140 to 150 pounds. His family dropped him at the school every morning, helped him into the building and out of the wheelchair and plop, dead weight on the floor. And he remained immobile and oppositional until his family left the building. And when they were gone, he was able to stand and walk around the room with a great deal of encouragement and motivation, but he could do it. He would participate and not just be waited on. It was natural as a student at that time to say, so what's the problem here? Like the blind man in Jesus' healing miracle, I wanted to know who sinned or whose fault it was. I do not know. I do know that as long as the question was, whose fault is this? Not much changed. Progress for Dale was about getting beyond the blame and the judgment, but it was like, what do we do to facilitate change and help Dale make a better life for himself and his family? Was it Dale's manipulation? Was it the parents' imprisonment in a sense of guilt or embarrassment about having a Down syndrome child? For Dale, we needed to provide an environment beyond the well-established circle and boundaries and the patterns of his life. I think that's a little bit of what was happening in John's Gospel reading this morning. At least I know that I want to identify with Jesus. Maybe you do too. My Lord moved beyond judging and fear and ignorance and sin to healing. And with that came insight and freedom in God's ways, claiming God's reign, claiming a place in God's reign. The man blind from birth is the story of God's liberating spirit that reveals the holy and divine light and liberation for the followers of Jesus. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Sleepers, awake. As Susan read this morning, did you catch it? For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Not you were standing in darkness or sitting in the light, but you were darkness, and now you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. I believe John wants us to know that the Pharisees, what the Pharisees could not imagine, and the disciples erroneously assumed a culture judgment that would be able to limit the guess and the motivations. The lines between blindness and sightedness is drawn along the identity and the purpose of Jesus. And when the parents of the blind man could not rejoice, and when the Pharisees failed to give thanks and to see Jesus in the healing of this man, something is wrong. In the shadows of the turmoil of Jerusalem, the Son of Mary and Joseph and the Son of God becomes visible. His purpose is rehearsed, not that the world would be condemned, but that the world through him might be saved, probably mostly from ourselves. And we want to ask, who sinned, this generation or the grandparents? And in a contentious world, whose fault is it? And in the stillness of our blindness, can we hear Jesus reply, oh, you see, it may be neither. But given what life is today, how can God be honored and glorified in the commitment to love? It is not a blame game. The state of affairs in the 21st church is given to us so that God may receive the glory and the honor in what we do and say. It is not a cranky judgment or a condemnation, but that God's saving plan might become viable and visible once again. So we are called to support the one great hour of sharing, response to a needy and conflicted world. We are not blind to the needs of and provide a safe place to live and a place to worship freely and near and far. We hear calls for a second mile lifestyle and a second mile pledge support. Jesus, are we blind? Surely not. Not us. We're the church. But Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. You see, the bigger issue, and I've heard a lot of, you might have heard some conversation about this as well. The bigger issue is not a wall along our country's border, but the bigger danger is the wall that continues to divide us throughout our culture, between person and person, and family, innuendo and innuendo, and mean spirit against mean spirit, half-truths against exaggerations. The church, dear church, my church, we dare not be blind to the danger of this wall, this division. We are called to be the light within our very own beings to bring hope and light to the world, a world that is dangerously close to missing the hope of God and the healing presence that Jesus brings. Not to stand in the light, but to be the light. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Seeing our blindness, we have hope. That hope is delivered to us by the grace of the same one who gave sight to the blind man, that he might live to God's glory, and that we might say, I see. I take the responsibility of what I see, that I might live to honor God, so that we might live to God's glory too. I see. Amen.